Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from the King James, and we may insert some other translations. But John chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Say, "I hear his voice." So if you're his sheep, you hear his voice. "And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." So he, what does it say he does? He says, the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. So he leads us. In verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice." They know his voice. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Verse 27, if you just jump down there, verse 27, same chapter, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and I know them, and they follow me." It says, "My sheep hear my voice." So when and this is Jesus speaking, when Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," then it would be a good idea to be in agreement with him. When we say, "I don't hear God," then you're in conflict with what God has spoken in his word. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." So that means he's speaking. The key is, am I recognizing his voice? Am I recognizing the way he speaks to me and where? And so it would be good to just agree. Even if you don't recognize his voice, even if you don't recognize that it's him speaking to you, it would be good to just say, "God speaks to me." That's faith speaking. Faith says, "I agree with God's word, and I'm going to say it because I believe him. He's not a man," the Bible says, "he's not a man that he would lie." And so it would just be a good idea to do that. Now, I will say this, when the Bible says no, if I know him, and this says here, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That word "know" implies fellowship. It also implies intimacy. If I know someone, that means I have fellowship with you. If I know you, that implies there's communion. And let me just share some thoughts on that just for a moment. Let me read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost." That means that word communion is a Greek word called koinonia. It means fellowship. It means joint participation. It means an interaction with someone. So if I have fellowship with or communion with the Holy Ghost, that means I have fellowship with him. That means or implies I'm interacting with him. And so, John 14, let's go over there. John 14. And let's look at verse 16. You know, I look at this as like a classroom. You know, there are times to preach, and then there are times to teach. And how many go into a classroom and have the professor preach at you? Not too often. They teach. Oh, Minister Joe does. He preaches. And Deacon Susie, they preach at the college. Is that what it is? Okay. They may. Okay. All right. Somebody's pointing at him over there. All right. Usually, let's put it this way, usually professors teach. You always teach. See, there you go. All right, John 14. In verse 16, it says, "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." See, it lacks fellowship, lacks intimacy here. "Neither knoweth him. But what does it say? You know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be" where? "In you." So the Holy Spirit is referred to here. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another comforter." If I said, "I'm going to give you something another," that means something just like what I have. I'm going to give you another one of these. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send or give you another comforter." That implies he's sending someone just like him. He was the original comforter. He was the one that was sent for them at that point. He was the comforter. He was the guide. He was their teacher. And so he said, well, what did he say? "I'm going away, but I'm going to send another comforter." And that's what he did here. So, in verse 26, let's jump down to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to do what? He's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave to you, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we can see here that when he said the Comforter is going to be in you, well, this is where God, he's talking about your spirit. And let me just read a scripture verse in 2 Corinthians here. Let me get over here and read this a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it talks about an inner man and an outer man. And this particular scripture verse talks about the inward man, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Let me read it. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So there's an outward man, there's this physical body, which is perishing, but there's an inward man. What is that? That's our spirit. And our spirit man, it says, is being renewed day by day. So this inward man, this spirit, is where God communicates to us. And so we need to begin to recognize how we know where he speaks to us. He lives in us. He communicates with our spirit. And now we have to begin to recognize when he speaks. Do I recognize his voice? Now, if you would, turn over, if you have your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're doing just a little review here, just a little bit. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. And there are four primary ways that God speaks to us. The first way is through his word. This is the primary way that God speaks to us. The second is the inward witness, and we're going to look at this here in chapter 8. verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So right here, if he's leading, then that means he's communicating, isn't he? If he's leading us, that means he's communicating with us. He's speaking to us. Well, this says here, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Right here is the first clue. The Spirit of God, who is the comforter, he's another comforter, the Spirit of God, who's been sent, he lives in us if you've been born again. And this says here, he bears witness with our spirit. Where? Where's our spirit? On the inside. That we are the children of God. So we can see here, and let me read some other translations of verse 16. The King James said that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Let me read some other translations. This is the Knox translation. It says, "The Spirit himself thus assures our spirit." He assures our spirit. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. And a lot of these translations you can look up online through some websites. They're all available. This says here, "The Spirit himself endorses our inward convictions." So what does that mean? That means that your spirit has a voice. So many of us have gotten quiet. How many have just, before they were born again, they said, something told me. You ever hear that? Something told me not to do this. What was that something? Most times, that was your conscience. It was your inner person speaking. Your spirit was speaking. Don't do this. Or do this. Or you said, something just doesn't feel right about this. That's your conscience speaking. And so here, this verse says, this particular translation, it says, "The Spirit himself endorses or assures our inward conviction." I've been using this example. It helps to kind of use something that you might be able to relate to something spiritual. We all have inward convictions. We say, I'm going to do this. I'm going this way. And you decide to go this way. Well, how many have been, let's use a car. You get in the car and you're driving and you say, something just doesn't fit. I'm going to go this way. Something told me to make a left or a right or go this particular direction. Anybody ever had that happen to them? We all have in life at some point. Well, maybe you're not driving, so maybe that didn't happen to you, right? But let's say you're not driving. Let's say your parents said, do such and such, or you just felt, I'm not doing that. Well, that was a wrong conviction. If your parents gave you an assignment to do and you didn't do it, that's a wrong conviction. Somebody else assured you to not do that. It wasn't God. So here's my point. When you drive in a car, we're all familiar with traffic lights, right? When you see a green light and you're driving along and you see a green light, do you stop? No. Do you slow up? No. Most of us are like, I'm going. Zoom. Right? I'm moving. Well, the leading of the Spirit of God, when we talk about a co-witness or someone else who's inside, the Spirit of God, when he assures you or endorses your inward conviction. What's my conviction? I see a green light and I'm moving in this direction, right? There's an assurance, there's an endorsement, this is the right direction. But if I have a hesitancy, if I see a yellow, what do? I slow down. I'm getting prepared to stop. So if I'm going along in life and I have a hesitation, something doesn't feel right, what do? What should I do? Slow down. Listen. What's up? Lord, what is this? So if there's something that causes me to have a hesitation, something that just, something doesn't feel right, whether I'm buying something, whether I'm going on a trip, whatever that thing is that you are convinced to do, if there's a hesitation, I can think of things that I've gone through in life that trying to fill something out, an applicant, and I'm like, I can't fill this out. I don't know why. He didn't tell me why. He doesn't need to. He's just telling you, see, when you walk by faith, let me ask this question. When you walk by faith and not by sight, that means you don't know everything, right? In order to walk by faith, that means you don't know everything, but what God is doing is telling you, slow up, listen, put it down, don't go that direction. That's what he's doing. He's giving us an inward witness, or another way to say it is an inward perception, an inward knowing. You're not walking in the dark. You're not going down this road and there's a red light and you're still cruising at 60 thinking it's green. God is giving you an inward witness to protect us, to guide us, to help us. And so these are these inward things, inward knowings that we have that God is speaking to us. It's another way of saying the inward witness, it's not a voice, it's a perception. It's a way of knowing something that you don't know. Is that understood? And all of us, Jesus said, my sheep know me, my voice. So that means if you've been born again, he lives in you. Well, if he lives in you, he's communicating. He's letting you know, this is okay, this is not okay. Right? And we all have that. Now, what can hinder that? Let me just read this scripture verse, Hebrews chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can look there. If you're not, just listen or look on. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. So if water's running through a pipe and it's running, you know, and there's no hindrances, then the water should flow freely, right? But if there's a clog in the pipe, then that means something may hinder that, right? Well, here's what it says in verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And then in chapter 4 of Hebrews, in verse 7, it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So when we walk by faith, or let me say it another way, things that we do can harden our heart or desensitize us in a way that we're not hearing God properly. We could be walking in unwillingness, we could be acting in a certain way that hinders this sensitivity. If I keep rejecting, if I know that it was God prompting me, and I'd say, I'm not doing it. Well, you become unwilling, and sometimes that can hinder your sensitivity to God. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 8 again. Now, here's another scripture verse here at the beginning of the chapter. We're talking about ways that we can hear God and know his voice. How many would like to be absolutely sure that that was God speaking to me? How many would want that? I do. I want to know that was God and not be wondering whether it is or not. I want to be sure because God will lead us into success. I'll say it this way. If you follow the Spirit of God, you will never make a mistake, ever. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound possible. Well, let me ask this question. Does God ever make mistakes? No. So if he's leading us, then we should never make mistakes, ever. And he's leading us. The Bible says in John, he says, I came that they might have life and life more abundantly. So if I'm going to have life more abundantly, that means without mistakes, without failure. And he does do that if we're listening and we obey. So Romans chapter 8, listen to this here, because this will affect us in this particular area. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with hearing God? A lot. Let me back up here a moment because I'm moving a little fast here. To be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we put our minds on, well, let's say it this way: if something is spiritual, that means it's godly. That means something that God is in. If it's carnal, that means it's ungodly. It means God's not in it. And the best way to say this, or try to get this across, is when we set our minds on something, we touch it with our thought life. And when we touch something, what you put your mind on, you open your heart up to. So, you know, folks have said, there's nothing wrong with that music, or there's nothing wrong with that TV show, or there's nothing wrong with this article that I'm reading. Well, let me ask this question. Who motivated the ones to produce it? Because they're the ones that got the inspiration to pen it, to shoot it, to record it, so that you would open your heart up to it and feed on it. And so the spirit that motivated them, just like, I will say it this way, just like the Holy Spirit inspires us to do good, there's a spirit, I don't like to say there is a spirit. He, the Spirit of God, motivated us. He inspired us to do something that was God-like. His nature, who are we? We are the body of Christ. So he operates through us with his what? His nature. And people are touched by God through us with his nature. Well, let me ask this question. You set your mind, you opened your heart up to God, and he did what? He inspired you to do something. Well, the devil does the same thing. He is the god of this world. And so when we touch things that are not godly, and we all know God will deal with each one of us individually. So I am not here to list down a list of things we should or shouldn't do. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job to show us what we should look at, what we should listen to, what we should feed on, because each person is different. Each person's growth spiritually is different. And he will let each one of us know that's not something we should continue to do. And so when we touch things that have been inspired by the devil, you open yourself up to and you feed on it. And what happens? You can see it in society. People that feed on things that are not godlike, what happens? You see hatred, you see violence, you see the spirit of that through the people because they fed on it. And they're inspired by it, but it's not God. It's not God. And so the same way, we can be inspired by God through his spirit when we touch it with our minds. And when you touch it with your mind, what are we doing? We touch this with our mind. We read it. We feed on it. What does it say? You meditate on it. And what does Joshua 1:8 say? It says, meditate on this day and night, and observe to do it that you make your way prosperous. When you feed on this, you make your way prosperous, but it's God inspired. When the devil inspires things and people touch it and they feed on it, their nature begins to reflect it. And that's all I'm trying to say here is that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, what does that mean? When you become carnally minded, you set your things on things that are ungodly, or God's not in it. What could that mean? It could mean a lot of things. You set your mind on things that are not in here. And all of a sudden, what happens? You start meditating on things. You're full of anxiety. You're full of worry. You're fearful about certain things. Instead of feeding on this, which builds faith and confidence in God. And so what happens? This says here, when we're spiritually minded, there's life and peace. So I usually, this is me. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but this is me. When I feed on something and I don't feel life and peace after I get done feeding on it, watching it, listening to it, if I feel anxious or I feel unsettled, or I just say, that was not God. God was not in that. And I shut it down. I don't continue to feed on it. Because what am I doing? I'm touching it, and it's not giving me peace inside. It doesn't give me peace. It doesn't quicken and give life to my spirit. Now, I can't say that I was always quick to not continue something, but we all grow, don't we? We all make mistakes, and sometimes we're a little slower than we should be. Sometimes we should just say, hey, this doesn't feed me. This doesn't help me. This doesn't give me peace. And sometimes we just feed on stuff that we shouldn't because it's just stuff, whatever it is. You know, if you're hung up on whatever, music, politics, whatever that is, unions, jobs, whatever, you know, hey, I'm into this, you know, whatever. You feed on that. And look, I'm not here to say that we shouldn't get involved in natural things. I am not here to say that. But you need to get direction from God. And you need to, if you're going to do it, you know, I watch certain things, you know, even how God is using certain people in the media. And I'm watching that, you know, God raises up people for certain things and certain times. But we are not to follow them. We're to follow Him. We're to follow the Holy Ghost, not people. And I keep saying this, that God has put in the body, He's put in offices in the church. He's put in apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are not to follow them. Even though Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He did say that, but I think if you will look at this, this is another way. I'm going to divert here for a second. That's another way that we can follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. When Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, he said, follow me. That's a way that you can learn the ways of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. You may sense some things, but when somebody with more experience follows him, you go, oh, I see. See, if this is the first time you've been on a trip or on a road, when you follow someone, you go, oh, I see how to get there. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And really, what we should be doing is we do follow spiritual leaders, but they are not our guide. And that goes even with me. We are here to teach and to help and to share the word of God. But when people say to me, what should I do? I usually say, I think you need to go and ask the one that gave you the direction. You need to get quiet and find out from God what he wants for you in your life. And I'm not here to say that personal prophecy is not valid. It is legitimate. Sometimes, as inspired by the Spirit of God, he will warn people, he will help them. But I find that most times, the reason those prophecies come through people is because they're not listening. Because, let me ask this question, if you knew from God what you needed, would there need to be personal prophecy? Probably not. And so I find that sometimes people are looking for that instead of going to God. They're running to hear somebody give a word. They're running to meetings looking for personal prophecy. And it can be, you need to be careful. You need to weigh it. You need to listen on the inside. I'm thinking of a couple here, been in the church here for a long time. Somebody came through and somebody who was a prophet prophesied to them and said, I see the Lord is going to do da 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 da, and you're going to move here and do this and this. And they said, we didn't bear witness to that. Didn't sit right with us. So we didn't do anything. But yet we knew God was going to use us, but we did not bear witness to that. It just didn't feel right with us. Now they're more spiritual. Instead of just selling everything and moving and going, they just sat on it. And it was 3 or 4 years, but God began to open up and show them some things. And they began to move in a particular direction as led. And so God is unfolding something totally different and in a different area. See, so that's what I mean. We need to be led by Him. through the inward witness. And what is that inward witness? Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, when this inward witness that we have, who is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is referred to as the Spirit of life. And the Spirit of God is also referred to as the Spirit of peace. So when we're led by Him, when we're led by the Spirit of God, there should be life and peace. I should have peace down here. If I'm not comfortable, if I don't have peace, that's like a yellow light. I need to just hold up. I don't have peace. This, remember, it's the Spirit of God assuring you. He's endorsing the direction you're going in. If you don't have peace, the Spirit of peace is telling you, this ain't it. This is not it. Don't touch it. Hold up. So the inward witness, or we said here, when you're putting your mind on spiritual things, there should be life and peace. There should be, and where does it refer to? If you look at verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. So he's talking about here, and in verse 11, excuse me, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. So the Spirit of life will quicken. Now, some of this may be foreign to you. You may not understand this, but every one of us who've been born again, somewhere in your life, you felt peace or not peace. You felt something on the inside and you may not have recognized that. That is the real you. That's your spirit letting you know something. And we need to listen to it. That's really what we're talking about. God communicates to us this particular way. The inward witness. And So back to this again. I'm just going to throw some other scriptures here. Let me read this here. 1 John. Let me jump over there. 1 John chapter 5. If you have your Bible, look over here. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, or he hath eternal life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, or he doesn't have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. I want you to look at that. It doesn't say he's going to give us an understanding. But because of who lives in us, the eternal life that's in us, he says, he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. So this eternal life has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. If you're writing notes, you can keep this in mind. First, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this eternal life that we have has given us an understanding. What does that mean? Illumination. That means a knowing. So this eternal life that we have has given us an understanding. Now let me continue this. Let me read this 1 John 5:20 from some other translations so you can get a better understanding. The Young's literal translation, it says this: "And we have known that the Son of God has come and hath given us a mind, that we may know him who is true." And this is the complete Jewish Bible. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment so that we may know him who is genuine." So what does that mean in all of this? We're sharing a lot. When you have the eternal life of God in you, he's given you a discernment, an inward witness, a knowing. And let me expand on that a little bit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a second and look at verse 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. It says, "But he that is spiritual," see, we're talking about he that is carnal is blinded or it's death, "but he that is spiritually minded is life and peace." So this is saying here, "but he that is spiritual judgeth," well, if you look in the margin, it says "discerneth all things." He that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. Now listen to verse 16. "But who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Boy, we'd all say, "Boy, I want to know his mind." Well, look what this says right here. It says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" What does it say? "But we have." We have the mind of Christ. We're not going to get it. We have it. How do we have that? Through the eternal life of the Son. And that life gives us illumination. It gives us a knowing of things. And so when the Holy Spirit, who was sent as another comforter to help us in life, he guides us, he speaks to us, he gives us inner promptings, and he assures us in our progress in life. And so we can progress successfully. But let's jump back again. I want to look at Romans chapter 8 again. Look back again. It says, "To be carnally minded is death." Well, what is death? Death really is darkness, isn't it? Death can be as extreme as physical death, but death is really darkness. It means confusion. It means not knowing what I'm supposed to do, right? And this is back to, again, when we touch things with our mind that are not godly, it brings confusion. It brings darkness. It brings something that doesn't have any God in it. God is light. And so when we touch things that are spiritual, it says there is life and peace. That means there's light, there's illumination, there's an understanding. If this says I have the mind of Christ, what am I putting my mind on? Am I putting my mind on something that brings light, illumination into something that I need? And this is the area where everybody lives. I don't know that we can teach enough on this. because we all want to know what's the best choice to make. Every day we have to make choices. Every day. Should I do this? Should I buy this? Should I invest in this? Should I marry this person? Should I get this job? We can know and never make a mistake. But it depends on what am I putting my mind on? Because what I put my mind on is either going to bring darkness or it's going to bring light and peace. And so this is a process. I'd like to say, you know, this is something you get born again and boom, you're there. You didn't grow that way. You were a baby. You grew up. You spit up. You messed your pants. You did all of these things, right? You made mistakes. And so you grow. And how do we grow? We feed, we eat, we nourished our bodies, we nourished our minds, we nourished ourselves, and we did what? We grew up. Well, it's the same thing here. You grow up spiritually. And so you have to feed and exercise and feed and exercise. What does that mean? I feed on the Word of God and I do it. That's exercising. And so as we do that, we grow up spiritually. And the more I feed on this, I know His voice. I'll recognize Him more readily as I feed on this. And so just like anything else, it's back to what we feed on. Now, let me share a couple of other scriptures here because we've been going a bit here. And there's a lot that we've covered. I will share this. New Year's Eve, I was quiet at home. And I was spending a little time quiet. And I heard down in my heart, stay close to me in this year. And He wanted me to release that word, New Year's Eve. To stay close. That was the word that he wanted me to share for the congregation at that New Year's Eve service. And let me just share something along that line. Psalm 63, if you just turn there for a moment. I know it had application there, but I just want to share this. Psalm 63. Because there's things going on in this earth, getting darker and darker, more complex, more confusing in the natural for people. And we will find our way through it and navigate through it if we stay close to Him. And we'll come out all right. We'll come out on top if we stay close. Now, Psalm 63... Look at verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. I'm reading from the King James. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Now, look at verse 8. My soul does what? Followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. That scripture verse there in verse 8. My soul followeth hard after Thee. The Amplified says, my soul, my life, my very self clings to You. See, this is staying close to Him. I cling to Him. This is the contemporary English version. It says, I stay close to you. This is exactly what the contemporary English version says. I stay close to you, and your powerful arm supports me. The Living Bible says, I follow close behind you, protected by your strong right arm. And this is what I said, when we follow close behind him, we're going to be safe. And so what the Lord was telling me to everybody, stay close to him. Stay close. When stuff is going on and the stock market crashes and everything goes, stay close. You'll be safe. He'll show you what to do. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. You won't be out there going, oh God, what do I do now? You'll know what to do. He'll warn you. He'll show you. Stay close. Stay close to him this year. Amen. So, let me stop and I'm giving you a lot here today. Look at Psalm, we're in Psalm 63. Look at Psalm 32. There's a lot to feed upon. I'm going to recommend, we don't charge for these messages. I don't believe in that. They're available on our website. You can download them and listen to them. And if you come back, the CDs will be here at the church. You can just pick them up and listen to them. But Psalm 32, starting in verse 8. King James, it says, verse 8, I will instruct thee. See, what does he say? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Let me ask this question. When God leads us, well, let me say it this way. Let's make this profession. Let's say this. I am internally led, not externally led. What do I mean by that? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm not externally led. That means I'm not led by what I see. Now, somebody might say, well, I'm across the street and there's a truck coming, so I'm just going to believe by faith it don't hit me. You're getting run over. You better get out the street. Now, that's foolishness. I'm talking about choices that I have to make, decisions that I have to make. I'm led by him. I'm led by faith. But this says here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. If you look in the, at least in my Bible here, it says, I will counsel thee, mine eye shall be upon thee. Verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. But we just got done reading. He said this eternal life has given us an understanding, right? So we're not like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding. This says here, whose mouth must be held in with a bit or a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Let me read this from the Living Bible. It says, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I like that. I will advise you and watch your progress. This is the Lord talking here. Don't be like the senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. What does that mean? That means God is leading us, but don't be like a stubborn mule that has to have a bit that pulls it. Get over here, get. You know what I mean? The Holy Ghost should be in us, should be just saying, don't do that. And we should do what? Yield. You have the understanding. You have in you eternal life. Don't be resistant to God. Recognize his prompts and obey. That's what he's saying here. Yield to him. Don't be like a stubborn horse that has to be pulled and jerked, right? Or whipped. That's really what that's saying, right? Now, go over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. We'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall do what? Give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding." See, we have that understanding. He's given us understanding through eternal life. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let me read this from the Phillips, J.B. Phillips translation. It says, "Thus God speaks through the scriptures." This is what we were talking about before. God's primary way to speak to us is through the scriptures. So this says, "Thus God speaks to us through the scriptures. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Listen to this, verse 15. "Live life, then, with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, as those who do." We know what the purpose of life is. Verse 16, "Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God." I like this. This is saying when we go through life, time is short. And God has given each one of us a purpose. We all have opportunities with our time. This says, make the best use of your time. And it says here, so that don't be vague. He says, because you know the meaning of life. The Amplified says, "Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is." How can we do that? We have eternal life in us. And he leads us and he guides us. And depending on what we put our minds on is going to depend on how successful we are. God's in us. He's leading us. But if I'm clouding it with things that I'm feeding upon, it may be more difficult. And that's why you ask, you find out or you hear people are always bumping through life, making bad mistakes, making bad choices. They're not hearing God clearly. And we can be a success in everything. I'm just thinking, I'll close with this comment. I was thinking about this when Brother Hagin was alive, Kenneth E. Hagin, teaching faith, teaching about the Holy Spirit, but primarily teaching the body of Christ about faith. And there was a young man that came. He was very young. I believe he was in his 20s or 30s. He didn't have a lot of money. He had about, I think he said he took $50 or $500, whatever it wasn't much money. And he began to take the teachings on faith that Brother Hagin was teaching. Living by faith, walking by faith. He began to meditate upon it. He began to feed upon it. He put his mind on something spiritual. He didn't look at it and say, "Oh, I only got X amount of money. I can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what." He began to feed on the Word of God and begin to take in how the Holy Ghost was inspiring Brother Hagin to teach on faith. He took that 50 or 500, I don't remember what it was, and he parlayed the in that business. He started a business, and he now has, he's still alive. He built a multi-million dollar business. Got his own private jets that he flies around in. He's a businessman. And he began to take this and feed on it and not be limited. And what did he do? He was led what to invest in. He'd start taking his money and invest in this and invest in this. And he would wait for an inward witness. He'd pray and wait, meditate on the word, and God would say, invest in that. And people would come and say, I want you to invest in this. And he'd say, well, I'll get back to you in a couple days or a week or whatever it was. And so he would wait for an inner peace. And so, he's a successful business person. And I mean, he told stories, this young person, as he grew, he told stories about how he bought this, you know, out in Oklahoma where he's from, at, you know, this is 30, 40 years ago, when it hadn't been developed. You go out there now, it's as busy as New York, around the Tulsa Broken Arrow area. It was nothing but farms and cow pastures out there 40 years ago. I was out there. And he began to buy property, and then they began to build big four-lane highways and so forth, and he had property, see, that he made a lot of money on. And when they started building all these malls out there, he had the property. But he was led to buy it, see. So what am I saying? We can be a success in everything we set our hands to if we begin to be more spiritual. We put our minds on spiritual things and not trying to figure out how to... Let me just say it this way. Some people think if I learn more about something, I'll be a success. You'll be somewhat successful because of your knowledge. You know, people think, well, I'm going to go to college and get a degree and get my whatever. And no, this is no offense to those that have doctorates. Look, my nephew finished. He's a doctor. He's got his doctorate. Not a problem. I'm not against that. I think education is good. But if you're going to put your trust in that, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. You need to be able, if you get an education, fine. If you don't get an education, fine. Whatever God has led you. I'm telling you, if you look at, go look up the story of Letourneau. Letourneau was back during World War II. And this man was spiritual. He was the one that built the earth moving. He designed the earth moving equipment. And the first electric tires and all of this. I'm telling you, these people back then sometimes, they didn't depend on their education. They depended on the Spirit of God and so forth. So we need to become more spiritual and less dependent upon things that we're putting our trust in. What am I saying? I'm saying let's not be as carnal with our thinking and more godly. And you'll be a success. You might say, well, you know, I'm doing all right. Well, you could do better. You can be more successful. You can be richer. You can be more at peace. And I think every one of us, I've made a decision, I am going to grow spiritually this year. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. and every person, because if you're satisfied, then you're lazy. That's just the truth. Because every one of us should set something and say, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to go a little higher. We all do it in the natural. If you're a business person, you say, I'm going to grow this business, right? You're never satisfied, you shouldn't be, where you are. And you should say, especially where God is concerned. We should desire to grow spiritually. And the only way we're going to desire, the only way we're going to grow spiritually is to feed more on spiritual things, and you will hear him more clearly and be led more accurately. And you won't miss it. You'll miss it less and less and less and less. We still may make some mistakes, but you're like, okay, I missed it. How did I miss it? What did I miss? Amen. Glory to God. I hope you got a little something out of this. You could spend, that's why I say there's no start and finish with this. It's a growth thing. And growing, don't feel like, you know, I've reached a plateau, I can't go any higher. Yes, you can. There's always more with God. You can't know enough. And you'll find that the more you grow spiritually, the more he will use you to help people. That's what we want. We want to help people. Because this isn't about us. It's about him and helping people. Amen. Praise God. I'm finished. Enough for today. I know there's a lot. I can hear all the brains and the wheels turning and going, all the gears turning. Amen.